thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Going to read tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, quite a long reading, 5 to 20 first of all. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. I've definitely been talking too much this week, I've got a dry throat. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." And here's our key for tonight. "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. But now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." And verses 36 and 37. This is now after Gabriel had appeared to Mary. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Another key verse. "For nothing is impossible with God." And another verse, one more verse, verse 45. This is Elizabeth after she'd heard Mary's greeting and the baby had jumped in her womb with joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mark Dever is an American pastor and author, and he said, "Isn't it better to be told something twice than not to be told it at all?" Do you agree with that? That's the excuse that I'm relying on tonight, because I have preached the bones of this sermon before, in the ladies' meeting in January 2014, and I was working on something else, the passage of Gabriel appearing to Mary, and I just it wasn't coming together, and I just wasn't sure it was right. And I was reading through Luke again, and these verses started. jumping out. And I thought, I think this is what the Spirit's saying, and I'm going to go with that. So I have preached the bones of this sermon. Well, most people don't remember last week's sermon, so what's the chances from 2014? And I also have to say, I first heard that verse, your prayer has been heard, preached on over 20 years ago. R.T. Kendall preached on that verse at a meeting I went to in St. Helens. And I'll tell you, there's not many sermons I remember from 20 years ago, but I never forgot it. So if any of his has slipped in there, I'm sure you'll forgive me because he's an amazing preacher. But I want you to imagine that you are somewhere by yourself, just doing whatever you're doing. And suddenly Gabriel, or, you know, just a more ordinary angel, an angel of the Lord appears to you and says to you, your prayer has been heard. What would you immediately think the angel was referring to? Would you be scratching your head and thinking, I've prayed thousands of prayers, millions of prayers? Or would you immediately think of one prayer in particular, one specific thing that's been burning in your heart that you've prayed for and prayed for? What would be the prayer be that you would think about that is uppermost in your mind? Because this is exactly what happened to Zechariah the priest. Now, I'm going to put this into context. Zechariah and Elizabeth were an oldish, I don't know how old they were, an oldish couple living in the hill country near Jerusalem. Herod was king. He was the king of the Jews. He was ruthless. He wasn't a particularly religious man. He was a puppet, basically, of the Romans. He wasn't religious, but he had rebuilt the temple, and it was a very beautiful building, the temple building. But he didn't really build it for the glory of God. He built it for his own reputation. I keep going on about this, I know I do, but it was not an easy time for the Jews. The Romans were ruthless. Their taxes were so heavy. The people had become discouraged because there was no word from God. 400 years of silence. No prophetic voice, no vision, no dreams, no angelic appearances. Many Jewish people had lost real faith. They had lost that personal connection to God. They were going through the motions. The Jewish leadership was basically corrupt. There was infighting and factions. But God always has a remnant. Friends, God always has a remnant. God, no matter what happens, no matter how many people fall away, no matter how staid stuff becomes, God always has people who are watching and seeing what he is doing. I truly believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth were such a couple. They were devout. They were worshippers of God. And in the midst of seemingly nothing much happening, they were waiting on the Messiah. The Bible says they were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Now, they weren't perfect, obviously, but they were obedient. Their orientation of their life was towards God. Zechariah was a priest. But there was sadness. There was a private grief in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Throughout their probably very long married life, I mean, if you're thinking Mary and Joseph, Mary, young teenager, maybe 13, 14. So the chances are Zechariah and Elizabeth had been married for many years and they'd been unable to have children. Now, I have had many friends in this very situation and have seen something of the personal pain and anguish that is caused. You know, even in our modern age, with these massive advances in medical science and technology and expertise, many couples still live with the pain of not being able to have children. But for Zechariah and Elizabeth, This would have been made worse because it was a common belief among the Jews that if you did not have children, you were a married couple, that somehow or other you were under God's curse. We can see when Elizabeth's response, she spoke about God taking away her disgrace. I had a very good friend in Scotland, an African lady, and this is still a belief that's held in African culture, that if you don't have children, somehow you're under some kind of a curse. What a burden to put on an already painful heart. So Elizabeth and Zechariah had this long journey. He was a priest. The Jewish priesthood was huge, thousands of them. And because it was so big, they were divided into divisions, 24 divisions. And every year, your division had to come and serve in the temple for 2 weeks. Most priests just had an ordinary job the rest of the year. Most of them didn't even live in Jerusalem. And when it was their turn, they'd come to the temple and they'd all get the jobs to be all divvied up and different things to do. But one of the jobs was to go into the holy place, not the most holy place, the holy place, and to burn incense on the altar of incense, done every morning and evening. To decide what priest would do that, they cast lots. It was an incredible privilege. A priest was only allowed to do this once in their whole lifetime, and many never got the opportunity. On this particular day, the lot was cast to Zechariah. Can you imagine the nerves, the excitement, as he prepared to go into the holy place to burn the incense? And all the worshippers, they were gathered outside. And while the priest was burning the incense, the worshippers were outside praying to God. And then after the incense was burned, the priest would come out and bless the people and they would go home. And this particular day, the people were outside thinking, where's the priest? He's taken forever to come out of there. What's happened to him? Has God's judgment fallen on him? Has something gone wrong? But no. When Zechariah was burning incense on the altar, well, he would have been praying. He would have been praying because that's what that act was symbolic of. He would have been burning incense and the aromatic smoke would have been going up to God, and Zechariah would have been praying to God. And the angel Gabriel appeared to him. He was terrified, the Bible says, no wonder. I mean, it wasn't an everyday occurrence. And I immediately said, you know, don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I wonder what, in that split second, Zechariah thought about. I'm pretty sure as Zechariah was standing there at the altar of incense, he would not have been praying a personal prayer. When you were serving at the altar and you were praying for Israel. You were praying for the coming of the Messiah. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were both old. So he was no longer praying for a baby. They had gone beyond praying for a baby at this stage in their lives. God hadn't answered that prayer. So wonder what Zechariah was like. What's the angel referring to? Probably before he had a chance to think all through, Gabriel said, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you're to give him the name John. Then the angel went on to detail all about John the Baptist, and we're familiar, I'm sure, with that story. God's answers sometimes come at a very surprising time. You couldn't get more surprising than this. This was a prayer they had stopped praying years ago. There had been a time in their lives when this was the constant prayer, constantly praying for a child. And as every month went by, they'd be waiting to see if that prayer had been answered. But it wasn't answered. And every month, There would be that disappointment. I'm sure they prayed that prayer with many tears on many occasions. But God didn't seem to answer for whatever reason. I want to ask you this evening, is there a prayer that you've stopped praying? A prayer that you've sort of given up on? A prayer that you thought, well, God just doesn't seem to be answering that prayer, so I'll just sort of leave that prayer aside. Maybe you're praying for a friend. Maybe you're praying for somebody in your family. Maybe you're praying for a very specific situation in your personal life, in the church. You're sort of giving up thinking it's never going to happen. Is God speaking a word of hope into your heart this evening? Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. Sometimes, as Christians, we're scared of that kind of language. With God, nothing is impossible. Raise your heart tonight in faith. Say, Lord, grant me the gift of faith to believe that nothing is impossible with you. You know what? Zechariah and Elizabeth, they couldn't have worked up an answer to that prayer in a million years. There are many things in life we cannot make them happen. We just can't make them happen. God can do it like that. Because with God, nothing is impossible. So I want to encourage you tonight. Your prayer has been heard. With God, nothing is impossible. I read these verses last week and I'll read them again tonight without apology. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, one of the most important things for me as I've been looking at this is that Zechariah and Elizabeth both came to a place where they accepted God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. Listen, we might not understand it. It might confuse us for a time. We might struggle to get our heads around some circumstances, but there is incredible peace in knowing and truly believing God's way is perfect. God's timing is perfect. They had to drink a bitter cup of disappointment, personal, unanswered prayer up to this point. But they didn't allow it to harden their hearts. Isn't that wonderful? That's a key. That is a key. You may have had to drink a very bitter cup of seeming unanswered prayer. Do never allow it to harden your heart towards God. That's a very dangerous position. Just come to God in submission. And say, Lord, I do not understand this. But Lord, one thing I know, your way is perfect. Your timing is perfect. Your thoughts are above my thoughts, Lord. Your ways are above my ways. They continue to follow God. And now was the right time for this baby to be born. And this child that was going to be born to them. I mean, he was going to be a joy and delight to them. But not only that, he was going to be the last in the line of the Old Testament prophets, bridging the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Not only was God going to just give them a baby, that was amazing. Would you want to have a baby at old age to be up during the night and all that? That was amazing. I'm sure the baby got a nanny in or something. They weren't just getting a son. They were getting the forerunner, the voice in the desert crying out, prepare the way for the Lord. How amazing is God? How amazing. No prayer to God is ever wasted. No prayer. I want us to think for a few moments about that altar of incense. Incense burned morning and evening. It was a place of prayer. Only the priests were allowed to burn the incense, all the worshippers outside. But you know what used to happen? Once a year, when the high priest used to go behind the curtain on the Day of Atonement, taking with him the blood of the sacrifice of the lamb, he would go into that most holy place and he would pour out the blood on the mercy seat below the cherubim. And then he would come out from behind the curtain and he would take some of the blood and he would put it on the horns of the altar of incense, showing that only through forgiveness, bought by the sacrificial blood of the Lamb, could prayers be heard. As you know, as you well know, all these Old Testament practices are symbolic of the blood, or the work rather, of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went through the curtain, not a physical curtain, the curtain which is his body. He went and he offered himself, Lamb of God, blood that cleanses, hallelujah. And he sprinkles us with forgiveness. And when you pray, friends, none of your prayers just hit the ceiling and bounce back down. Sometimes I know it feels like that. They don't just go into the ether. They don't get lost. Your prayers are heard. They're heard in heaven. In the book of Revelations, there are two references to the golden bowls. I love these, the golden bowls of incense. In Revelation 5:8 and 8 verses 3 and 4. And the incense in these golden bowls is said to be the prayers of the saints. When we pray to God, sometimes as we do feel, it's getting nowhere. God's not hearing. They're just words coming out my mouth. They're just getting lost in the sky. The heavens are as brass as people would say. That's because we don't get speedy answers all the time. But God hears every one of your prayers. Every one of your prayers rises up to God. He hears and he answers in his own way and time. This evening, I pray that God will have reminded you by his Spirit of a prayer, maybe one specific prayer that you have prayed. Because that's a work of the Spirit, how he brings something up in our hearts. A prayer that you have prayed. And I pray that you hear his voice speak right into your heart and say to you, your prayer has been heard. With me, nothing is impossible. And one of that verse that I read, I just love that verse. Blessed is she, you can put in he there. Blessed is he or she who has believed that what the Lord has said to him or her will be accomplished. You can't work that up. I can't work that up. That is faith. And God gives faith by his own free gift. But never forget, prayers that you send to God from a forgiven heart, he hears. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. In Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. If we could just attune our ear, attune our spiritual ear this moment, because you know the thing is, God knows what's in each one of your hearts. He knows what's in my heart. He knows the prayer that we're thinking of right now. If we could attune our ear to hear his intercessions at this very moment. Oh, friends, how encouraged our hearts would be. His way is perfect. His timing is perfect. That's a consistent theme in the Bible, at just the right time. Open up your heart. Say, Lord, I believe you. I believe that what you have said into my heart will be accomplished. I trust you, God. My prayer has been heard. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.